everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. My guest today is an absolutely lovely, lovely individual. So I would like to welcome her to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith, and my passion project, which is the series, You Are Not the Only One. So welcome, my beautiful Maggie Matthews. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Shannon. And thank you for letting me be on your podcast. This is wonderful.
I'm just so excited that you're here. So just to get started here, Maggie, if you want to let the audience know a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then from there, you can just go right into your story.
Okay. I'm from the UK, and I'm a hypnotherapist, bereavement and grief counsellor, and a grief coach. So basically, I have written a book because I went through experiencing domestic violence, which was about 15 years ago. And as the pandemic came about and we were all locked in the UK, domestic violence rose. And because it rose so much, I decided I had to share my experience of domestic violence with other women because I wanted to support them and help them. So I have written this book called Losing My Identity. Now, this is my own personal journey of me surviving domestic violence and coming from a victim to a survivor. Now, we had the perfect life. We had a beautiful house. We had our own successful business. We had properties abroad and we traveled a lot. And everyone thought we were the perfect family. But because the business took off so well, my husband at the time was totally exhausted and he would not delegate the work because he did not trust anyone to do the job as good as what he did. So his health deteriorated through exhaustion, wouldn't listen to the doctors and carried on working. And all of a sudden, I noticed changes in his behaviour, his body language, his attitude. He wasn't the family man that he used to be. He was staying out late and he was going off for days at ends. And I thought, what's going on? I thought he must be having an affair or something. And money was disappearing from our bank account. As time went on, I found out through asking questions and probing and friends and whatever that he was taking heroin. So I had to, you know, confront him with this idea because it totally was soul-destroying, life-destroying, because I'd never heard about heroin. I thought this understands his mood swings. One minute he's nice as pie and really loving like he used to be, and then it'd be like a Jekyll and Hyde. He would totally, you know, turn. His character would become angry, would become nasty, would become irritable. Nothing was good enough. Nothing was right. And we were like walking on eggshells all the time. So this was the start of the journey of leading up to the domestic violence. So when I confronted him about it, he was totally in denial. He said it was me, that I was cracking up, I was imagining it all. And he said, and at the end of the day, if I was, so what? I'm still working, we've got a successful business, what difference does it make? And as time got on, he went deeper and deeper into it. And of course, his behavior became a lot more volatile, a lot more angry. And myself and my son, obviously, we took the brunt of it. So the house then became a house of fear, not a house anymore of loving family, peace and quiet. It became fear. We were all anxious. We didn't know what mood he was going to be in when he came home. So in the end, I said to him, if he doesn't give it up, which I would support him with, and, you know, help him to go through the system of withdrawing. And he was like, no, he said, it's not affecting us. It's not affecting the business. We're all going to be fine. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. I don't want my children to be brought up by a heroin addict and living in fear because of the mood swings and the tensions and not knowing when you're coming home, if you're coming home. So I filed for divorce. That went through. And during this time, life at home was unbearable, absolutely unbearable. It was again, the violence got worse, the abuse got worse. And anyway, finally the divorce came through and he moved out. And then one day he came round and said, I want to see the children. And during this time, he'd been drinking as well as doing the heroin because I could sense it on the phone. I could smell it when he came to the doorway. As he came into the doorway, he said, right, I want all of you to get upstairs. I said, what do you mean? I said, I thought you'd come to see the children. I want you all upstairs. And he put me into the bedroom and he said to the children, right, say goodbye to your mum tonight because if I can't have her, nobody else can. And so I'm going to slit her throat, chop her up into pieces. You're going to go to foster care and I'm going to go to prison. So that was the most horrendous night of my life. He beat me up, threw me across the room from side to side. And I didn't know whether I was dead or alive, but I was praying that night to stay alive for the children, just begging that someone was going to save me. I had to stay alive for the children. I had to do whatever he wanted me to do just to stay alive. So basically, you know, the children came in and asked him what the hell was going on. And obviously they could see the state of me in the room and they were absolutely devastated. They were in shock. They were crying. They were begging him to stop. And eventually he did. But then after that night, we weren't allowed to leave the house. We had to stay in the house. The children weren't allowed to go to school. So we were like kept hostage in our own house. And then eventually, because he ran out of the heroin, he had to go and get some more heroin. He left my family home, during which time the children could go back to school. So obviously they went back to school. They were traumatized. The school obviously picked up on why I hadn't been in school for a week. I was still an absolute mess, totally bruised, swollen, whatever, all over. And so my son told the school. The school called me in and they said, you've got to call the police because you cannot go home because it's not safe. So within 24 hours of that happening, we had to pack a suitcase. The police escorted us from our home, from our town, into a women's refuge. And we never went back again. We had to say goodbye to our family, our friends in that time, but we physically couldn't do it. But in our heads, when we were driving in that police car, leaving our family home, we didn't know where we were going, what was happening. We were still in shock and traumatized from what we'd been through. And we basically went to a refuge where we stayed. And with our suitcase packed full of clothes and essential items, we never returned to that house again. And we were totally taken out of the area. But never to return home. So basically we had to start our lives all over again. And this is why it's called losing my identity, because that's what we lost. We lost our identity. We could not return home to where we lived. The children could not go back to their school. And during all this process, they'd actually lost their dad as well. Not because he had died, but because they could never see him again. Because of what we had went through that night, it was so traumatic, so devastating, that he was not safe to be with anymore. So we totally had to rebuild our lives, start our lives again with a new identity, a new name, a new area, everything. So our lives totally changed within 24 hours because of someone's behavior and someone's habit and not having what they want and thinking they had done nothing wrong. So we were totally victim of circumstances. So that's what the book is about. And obviously it goes in more detail and it's more factual and more emotional than what I'm talking about. But the fact is that within 24 hours, your life can change through no fault of your own because you're just with the wrong person or the wrong circumstances or at the wrong place. And that shows you how life is so precious.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make the most of it and enjoy it, not take anything for granted because you don't know when your life could change.
No, you don't, do you? Wow, that's quite the story, Maggie. And I know that that was not easy sharing it with me and the audience. So I thank you for doing that. Now we're going to get into some questions here. You know, during that whole process that you went through, that journey, there would have definitely been self-discovery as well. And sometimes we have to go through the most difficult times in our life to realize what they really are. Can you share with me and the audience what you feel, what you learned the most out of that process? That's if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned so much, to be honest, because you don't realize how strong you are until you are put in a situation like that. You've got to have courage, you've got to have determination, you've got to have self-belief, and you've got to be totally independent and actually make decisions, not just for you, but for the children and for the best scenario. And you don't even know whether you're going to do that or not, because when you've been through any sort of trauma, you lose yourself and you lose the power really to think properly, because you think, if I've gone through this, you start to feel guilty, you start to feel weak, you blame yourself, you shame yourself, you feel unworthy, you feel unloved, you feel not good enough. And then you think, am I going to be responsible enough to get me and my children through this situation? Am I going to be strong enough? Am I going to make the right decisions? Who do I listen to, which I can trust? Because obviously you lose trust with what you've gone through, because you're meant to be in a safe place in a lovely family home, and you're meant to protect your children. So everything that you believed in totally goes out the window. Your values, your beliefs, because you're now a different person than what you were before that scenario. So suddenly this new person comes out within you, which shows courage, strength, power, and in an odd way, a new respect for yourself, which you didn't have before. Even though you don't feel worthy and you don't feel any self-love and you feel so guilty with what you've put the children through and you don't feel good enough, there's another side of you, which I think also the anger makes you move on. It makes you the survivor. It makes you fight. And you think, I'm not going to live in fear anymore. I'm not going to be controlled. Because even though you're safe, in your head, you've still got that fear. You've still got the control. You still hear all the words that were being thrown at you, or that negative behavior, that negative abuse, and those negative words that make you feel absolutely useless.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, well, we know that this world can be a very cruel place for sure. And there are so many others that are going through domestic abuse on so many different levels. For those people that are hearing your story, what is it that you would like to share with them? What guidance, or any advice would like to speak to them directly?
I think the thing that I realized with these relationships, when you're in love with someone, you stay with them because you're hoping they're going to change and you want them to change and you believe everything they say because you want to keep the family unit together. But after experience, what I've had is like, do not think like that. Just get out as soon as you see the first signs of control, of fear, of mental abuse, emotional abuse. You need to get some help. You need to get out. Maybe not for you, but for your children, because they've got no choice. They are victim of these circumstances. So you need to protect them and put them first. And there is so much help out there now. Don't be afraid to ask. And that's the other thing. I thought nobody was going to believe me, because we had such the perfect life on the outside. Nobody would believe what was going on behind closed doors. But people now do believe you. You've got to have that voice. You've got to be brave, and you've got to speak out. Because if you don't, you don't know if you're going to live for another day. You don't know if one night, one day, they're going to turn, something worse is going to happen than what's happened before. So you've got to think of number one, and especially your children, and you deserve better. You don't need to live a life like that. You need to respect yourself to say no and walk away and just do whatever you can just to get some help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So there's a lot of beautiful things that have come into your life. And can you share with the audience where you are now?
Where I am now, I'm living an amazing life. I live a life of peace, of happiness, contentment, and joy. And I am now living the life that I should have lived a long time ago. I've actually got my identity back. I've worked on self-development, personal development, and I'm on a spiritual journey. And I've learned now to love myself, to respect myself, and to release the guilt and the shame and the blame that I carried for so many years for putting my children through that situation. And this is what I've learned. You've got to love yourself, respect yourself, and be worthy enough to say no, to let it go, to know that at the time it was out of your control, and not to totally have it on your shoulders to blame for you, and not to blame the children either. Because at the end of the day, you have done their best for them. You've took them out of that situation. And now, as they're adults with their own lives, they actually realize, as a family, we've become so much closer. And they're really proud of what I've done and how courageous I was. And I take that now, and I feel very proud of me that I actually went through that and I've come out the other side. And this is the message I want to give to women, that you do not have to stay the victim. You can be the survivor and you can have the life that you want. I've got the life that I want now. I've gone back to the person that I should have been all that time ago without going through this. And I'm living a spiritual life full of joy and contentment and peace and happiness. And I appreciate every single day, because every single day is a gift. Like, our life is a gift, and we need to respect that.
Absolutely. Very, very good advice. And I'm so happy that you are where you are now, and you're happy and you're vibrant and you're living life to the fullest. And I know there's a lot of beautiful things that you've created within your life. And so this is the final words. I would like you to share with the audience any of your last words. I know that you're come into yourself with different projects. And so whatever you share here is what will be put into the podcast notes. And I'm excited for you. So if you can please go forth and tell.
I just want to support, you know, any women or even men that are going through a trauma. You know, please read my book, get inspiration from it, because it's a journey of self-discovery. It's a journey of strength and courage and power. And it shows you how strong you can be when you need to be. And the qualities that you have in you will come out. Do not live in fear. Do not be afraid to step outside your comfort zone, because life is short. So live it to the max, live it to the full, and do whatever you want to do. I'm doing work now that I love, with all the counselling, the coaching and the writing, and now the speaking, because I want to have a voice to be heard, because I had to be so quiet for so long. And that was the biggest turning point when I wrote the book, because I could get rid of all the guilt and the shame. And also it helped me heal and helped me have a voice now to be able to speak out to other people that do not accept anything. Because at the end of the day, you are worth so much more. You've got to love yourself and respect yourself and to be happy and peaceful. And you deserve a life that you want through your choice, without living fear and without living in control. But it's only you that can do it.
Absolutely. Can you say the name of your book again, please, so the audience can hear?
Yeah, it's Losing My Identity by Maggie Matthews.
Wonderful. And like I said, it's going to be in the notes of the podcast. And if you want to purchase it, that's where you would go. At this time, Maggie, I want to say thank you so much for being on my podcast, for sharing your journey. And by others listening to your story, that's also definitely going to help them out there. And yeah, thank you so much for everything. And thank you so much for like sharing your space and your energy with all of us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Thank you.
I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.